This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
What's up, people? Welcome back to Rebranding Safety. This week I'm reflecting on my chat with the legendary David Provan. Let's jump into the intro and we'll get right into it.
Safety isn't deviation, it's complexity.
Health and safety has gone mad.
Health and safety is trying to unpick having gone mad in the past.
There's no one solution and one problem. The problem is that we are looking for one solution.
Does the structure of the team allow them to flourish?
Feel safe enough to be uncomfortable.
The environment defines our behaviours.
People aren't the problem, they're the solution.
Rebranding Safety, crushing a stereotype. Brought to you by Risk Blue.
Just been talking for like a whole couple of seconds and realized I had myself on mute. Classic. I'm not even on Zoom. Oh, what is going on? I'm messing everything up here. What I was saying whilst I was on the old mute was I realized this background music is a little bit like a kind of crappy American cheap radio station, isn't it? So I'm probably going to get rid of this one after this podcast. We'll get a new tune and let's mix it up a little bit, get us a bit of diverse background music. So let's get into my notes for my chat with the legendary David Provan. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. I thought it was absolutely great. Love David. What I will say is I don't know what's going on with my audio back then. I mean, a lot of these interviews were recorded so long ago. We were changing offices. I'm not making excuses. I should have checked. It sounds like I did the same as what I did with the interview with Simon Cassin, in that my mic wasn't on or something. It sounds like a crappy room mic or something. It's terrible. So I sincerely apologize for that. But, you know, short of re-recording the whole thing, which I wasn't going to do, there was nothing else I could do. My apologies. I hope you are able to move past that and listen to the quality of the conversation. If not, then I apologise and I hope you enjoyed the following week. The following week? This is the following week. I hope you enjoyed this week. And I hope you've enjoyed next week's interview with Teresa, which I believe the audio, if I remember correctly, is a little bit better. So anyway, this whole thing's gone a bit of a mess, hasn't it? I haven't even done the normal one. Welcome back to Rebranded Safety, everybody. If you're new here, Rebranded Safety is the podcast and YouTube channel doing exactly what it says on the tin. So hit those subscribe buttons and those follow buttons or whatever. It's not subscribe on podcast, is it? And this is a podcast exclusive episode, people. Podcast exclusive. So, you know, if you're one of those, I only watch YouTube, then you're missing out. And you're missing out. And if you are one of those I only watch YouTube, then you wouldn't even know I'm saying this, would you? Because you're not on podcasts. Anyway, let's get into my notes then. So beyond audio problems on my end, which I sincerely apologize for yet again, there's a few notes I've got. Firstly, I thought it was really interesting that David Provan, when he was talking about, you know, approaching Sydney Decker about the safety differently stuff, he said, "Oh, Sydney, I want you to come and look at how we do safety because I kind of think we're already doing it. So come and have a look at what we're doing." And that kind of reminded me of kind of what I call all of this new safety as originally intended. Yes, there are evolutions in the way we think. There are evolutions in the things that educate us in the research and science field. There are, you know, psychological safety is something that we've not really spoke about for a long time, at least not in these depths, in the general populace of safety and business as well. So I think that yes, there are inherent obvious, you know, evolutions, like I say, that you can't avoid, and that's just nature. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a damn good thing. But I still genuinely think that, like I said with Kelvin Genn, I think it was Kelvin Genn. I'm just racking my brain now. Was it Kevin Furness? Or was it even John Green? I think it might have been John Green, actually, that said, you know, safety differently or safety to New View, whatever you want to call it, is the closest equivalent to working to the Health and Safety at Work Act in the UK. It's the closest equivalent to that reasonable and practicable approach to safety, which is in the legislation, which is why I keep coming back to this. Safety is originally intended. I don't read any of the HSE guidance and see what and kind of imagine they're trying to get what we see in a day-to-day reality. We see, you know, risk assessments, for example. I think that's a good example, actually. Risk assessments. Think about it. One of the biggest problems of risk assessments is getting people to read them, right? Now, a risk assessment isn't like a next Lord of the Rings, so it's not like somebody wants to pick it up and read it. But they're really long, some of them. They're so stupidly long. And everyone's like, oh, we have to do that to be compliant. Do you? Do you? Because what does the legislation actually say? Oh, I know I've banged on about this so many times in videos and podcasts and so on. Legislation says record the significant findings. It doesn't say record every hazard, right? You have a duty to manage, you know, the risks within your workplace so far as reasonably practicable. But you don't have a duty to record absolutely everything. Now, granted, your stakeholders, your insurers, your auditors will probably be picking you up on that stuff. And I'm not naive. I understand that. You know, your customers might even be demanding this. If you're working in construction, especially, you get those absolutely stupid waste of everybody's time, bureaucratic bullshit that they call pre-contractor questionnaires, which are just an absolute fucking joke. That do nothing other than this lull you into this false sense of security of, oh, I'm safe because I asked my contractor if they have a health and safety policy. It does nothing. It does nothing. So, like, why waste our time doing it? They're such a joke. I get so frustrated when I have to do one of those crappy things. They're so annoying. So, if we were to do safety as originally intended, as intended to do from the guidance, it would look nothing like what we actually do in safety now. So what I really don't understand sometimes when people get their back up about safety too and all this, and a lot of the stuff they talk about in there is just what we were supposed to do in the first place, except we've all just become so bureaucratic in the way we approach safety. So that was kind of what came to my mind about that note when David said that. And most of the stuff in my notes are from the front end of the conversation. I'm saying this now. I don't know if it's behind a paywall or not, but I'm going to have a look at getting the link to Benefactor and Burden research. It may or may not be behind a paywall. I'm not 100% sure. If it's not, I'll link it in the description of both this and the interview. So go and check that out. If it's not there, that means it's behind a paywall. Maybe I'll link it anyway. I'll link it anyway and you can pay for it. You can totally tell I make this stuff up as I go along. Eh? Anyway, let's have a look. Honestly, I would, if it's behind a payroll and if you can't be asked to read it, if you're anything like me and just don't like reading research papers, I will link the episode to Safety of Work podcast below where Drew and David himself go through the paper. And it's a really fascinating podcast. And if you're looking for maybe a bit of a quicker way of going through it, I think that's a very effective way of doing it. So go and do that after this podcast, obviously. Don't just leave halfway through. That would be rude. Let's have a look. What else have we got on? Yeah, I thought David raised such a good point here that when I was listening back to it, I was editing it just before this, and that's how I get my notes for this kind of reflection episode. And he said in that, you know, a lot of people say that Safety 2 doesn't really talk about safety professionals, it talks about managers and leaders, and I was like, oh yeah, shit, it does. It really does, and we assume that it's books for us. How self-indulgent is that? We assume these books are intended for us, are they? No, they're intended for managers. But yet, again, we are doing it, and our managers don't give a shit, and they don't read these books. So I remember working in a company for a guy who I think still listens to this podcast, and if he does, he'll probably know who I'm talking that I'm talking about him. But he brought us all a book about safety and stuff like that, and... he brought the whole team in, and then I remember talking to him over a dinner, and we were saying, like, you know, that the next step here is to get the book in the hands of our leaders and managers, because they're the ones that really need to read it, because that is the truth here, isn't it? That is what we need to do. We need to get our Safety 1, Safety 2 books, our whatever books. I've completely forgot all the books that I've read now. You know, any kind of safety book that you're reading, buy it, read it, give it to your bosses, give it to your stakeholders, your internal customers, whatever you want to call them, and get them to read it. How good would that be? Are they going to read it? Maybe some will. Some of this stuff is genuinely quite interesting. So I do think that is a very powerful message. If we can really get them to understand what we're reading about, what we're learning, and how we're trying to talk about it, that could potentially be half the battle. But then it's a pretty hard battle getting them to read the book. Here, read this safety book. No. But it's really interesting. No, it won't be. Oh, yes, it is. If it's a safety book, it's not going to be interesting, is it? Well, it's not really a safety book. It's like this new way of looking at safety. Great. So, not this type of safety. It's multiple types of safety. You can just imagine a conversation, can't you? It's just kind of... Oh, anyway, I feel like I should have gone into acting. What else notes have I got? What else notes? Safety professional. We ended up coming back onto that conversation. Are safety professionals redundant? Are we doing ourselves out of the job? This is something that comes up all the time. I've got a video coming out in a couple of weeks about this on the YouTube channel, and my predictions for the safety profession. But David, damn him, brings up a very good point. Very, very good point. On that, there are so many forces in our businesses, so many departments that are focused on profit. And safety is one of very few departments that are not focused on profit. They're focused on safety, essentially, and health. So what other departments? Maybe quality would be thinking about quality, but then quality is about creating profit because you're issuing good quality products, which then creates more business and so on. So there could be an argument there that that's not. Environment definitely is another force, not pushing it for profit. And then probably HR, maybe. Maybe there's a podcast out there rebranding HR or something that tells us that HR is not what we all think it is. So there's not that many parts of the business that are not centered around profit or the dollar, as David put it. Which I thought was such a good point, which I couldn't... I must have just completely forgot about that when I spoke to him, because I couldn't remember it. But when I was re-editing this, I was like, damn, that is such a good point. That's such a good point. So we need to exist, in David's opinion, because everyone else is essentially going to be distracted by profit. And we can, because we're so far removed from it, because we need to be removed from it, aware of it, conscious of it, but removed from it nonetheless. Therefore, our priority is safety. Therefore, we can try and push the business the other way. So inherently, there's a kind of paradox in the business, as David says, but it's kind of that they will always be in conflict. And it's when the more and more you look into safety, the more and more you think, oh God, it's full of paradoxes, as David kind of pointed out in his research as well. I like that David, you know, so kind of him to kind of confirm what a paradox is. It's two things that are correct, or in conflict, sorry, but also true. Well, that was nice of him. I put that in my notes because I thought it was a very simple description. That's why I just explained it in here. Let's have a look. What else have we got? I like that he mentioned this about asking your managers... If I see something I think, you know, is dangerous or something, that, how do you want me to deal with that? Now, I'm intrigued to know what the answer would be to that. I really am. What do we think our managers would say if we went over the, you know, like the director of operations or something like that? The director, CEO even, you know, the director of the business, managing director. If you see something bad, what do you want me to do about it? They'll say, stop it. And maybe play a little bit of devil's advocate then, and say, okay, you want me to stop it, but what if, you know, that order is for a customer that has been complaining through the roof, and if we don't get this order out by the end of the day, they're going to leave. But to do that, to do it quickly, a guard is broken on the machine and they're bypassing the interlock or something like that. I've literally just made that up off the spot. And then he'll probably go, what do you mean? And you'll probably have to explain it to him or her. And then once they get it, I'd be interested to see what they say after that. And then the other point around, what was the other question he said? To see something dangerous, how anyone wanted to do it. You know, trying to get them to understand our role and just kind of having open conversations about what you think safety should be doing within the workplace. You know, what do you think safety is for this company? What do you think I should be doing? Like, when you look in my role, what do you think I should be doing? I feel like that's a good question for an interview, but for the interviewee, when you're being interviewed and they say, any questions, you turn around and say, yeah, sure, I got a couple. Number one, if I get the job and I'm, say, doing something and I see something that's pretty dangerous, what do you want me to do about it? And then the next one, how do you envision my day-to-day role being in the company? Like, what am I doing? What am I doing in the day? How do you view safety within the confines of this business? What is safety? I like that question. I ask that of a lot of people. What is safety? Define safety for me. It's always intriguing to see what you get. Normally you get the bog standard. It's making sure that everybody goes home with all their fingers and thumbs. Yeah, but what is it? Well, it means that everyone goes home, doesn't get hurt. Yeah, but what? That's what you want to get. But what is it that gets you that? Then when you really get into it, everyone comes out with it's the system, the policies and the procedures that essentially confine our worker to be non-dynamic and just do as they're told and operate like a simple robot. I'm tarring everyone with the same brush. Not everyone talks like that, or not everyone thinks like that. But interesting question, I think, and especially for the back end of an interview, when we get our chance to ask our questions as the interviewees, you could probably get a real good sense of who you're working for if you ask them a question like, can you define safety for me? And if you don't like the answer, don't take the job, because you won't be happy there, 100%. Maybe you want to be an auditor, you know, a more system. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe you want to be creating systems. So if they turn around and they say safety is systems and policies and procedures, and you're like, yeah, I love that shit, that's the place for you, man. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. What else have we got in my notes then? Let's move on. Have you answered any questions? There's something you don't want. I've done that. We're so good. Oh. This is a paradox nonetheless, isn't it? That we as safety professionals, we have to know everything. We have to understand everything. We have to be involved in everything in the business. In any, like, this is something I struggle with even now in my kind of day job, is that there's so many things that I'm in a meeting and they're like, oh, right, yeah, we're going to have this, and I think that this department and this department should be in this meeting, and it's not safety, and you sit there and you genuinely think, well, I should be in that. And then they talk about another meeting and you're like, well, I think I should be in that. And then you go into the next meeting and you think I should be. You end up thinking like, am I just like, does it look like I just want to be involved in everything? But that's inherently the kind of issue we have in our profession, because we do genuinely need to be involved in nearly everything. So you end up having a bit of a complex that it's like, well, do they think I just want to be involved in everything? And then you get people being, oh, I didn't involve you in this because of this. And it's like, yeah, I'm not precious about things. I only want to be involved where I can bring value. But at the same time, like, we cover so much. We cover so much. And so much is safety that, yeah, we do have to be involved in so much, which is the amazing thing about the business. Like, one day you're working with the finance team, then the legal team, and then the engineering team, then you're on the shop floor, and then you, the next day you're looking at guidance on technical stuff, and then you're reading research papers on psychology, and then you're in meetings for strategy, and then you're in meetings for projects, and then you're in meetings for meetings, and then meetings about meetings, and so on and so forth. We do so much in our role, which is inherently why I love the role, which is why I absolutely, like, no one day is the same. Like, sometimes it's so messy, it's hard to keep track and hard to stay on top of your to-dos and so on and so forth. But inherently, it's kind of the problem as well as the thing that makes it amazing, because we struggle with our identity. We struggle with what do we actually do here, because we're involved in so much that we have this kind of identity crisis that I think we're going through. And you know, I made this video, which will be out maybe about the same time as this video, or if not soon, or if not, it's already been out. And it may or may not age well, that video. Like, it may just absolutely crash and burn. And that's cool, man, because, well, that's just my opinion at that time. I might make a video in a year's time, in 6 months' time, in 2 weeks' time, completely disagreeing with that video. And that is the complex nature of our role in safety, which is why it's so freaking awesome, but at the same time is why it's so frustrating at sometimes as well. So I really like that what David was talking about. What else have I got? I like that he kind of said that, in a way, and I've oversimplified this, which, I don't know, as anyone knows, is the problem with a lot of things, but let's kind of imagine we've got two sides to safety. There's people that are more kind of cultural focused and people that are more systems focused. And it was interesting, I was in a Project Meletium call the other day. If you don't know what Project Meletium is, well, you won't, because we've literally just launched it. It is a community for safety professionals that me and Colin Nottage have put together, and it's all about getting people together. Me and Colin are trying to, you know, do as much as we can to facilitate the conversation, get what we've learned in our podcast, and help people grow and help people help each other and so on and so forth. So in a nutshell, that's what it is. There'll be a website link in the description below. You can click that, go to the website and have a look if you want to join our little members only community. So I hope to see you on some of our calls. But anyway, I was in one of our first calls, actually, and one of our members said, as we were talking about loads of stuff, and we were talking about what me and Colin said, what do you want to talk about? Like, what do you want to see more of? What do you want to, you know, talk about? What do you want, research and resources do you want us to get you? And there was a lady, one of our members, said, I love all this people stuff. I love all the human factors stuff. But we also need to not forget about the technical stuff, because I kind of struggle with some aspects of that. And I thought, you know what, that's so true. Like, I avoid the technical stuff left, right and centre. Like, someone says working at height to me, I know it inside out, and I'm just like, meh. CDM, meh. Kosh, even more. Like, ugh, hate Kosh. Right? But yet, they are something we have to do whether we like it or not. And kind of like what David alludes to, is that there's two types of people in safety. Again, this comes back to very similar to the video that I've been talking about in this episode, in that you've got people that are more people, cultural focused safety professionals, and people that are more systems / compliance focused in this profession. But the problem here is that David mentioned, you know, both, whatever side of the fence you're on, he talked about slightly different depending on backgrounds, but whatever side of the fence you're on, you seem to have this opinion that the other one is wrong. And I've done that. I mean, you can go back to some of my episodes and I'm slacking off people that are so compliance focused. And as I've gone through this Safety 162 miniseries, I start to realise, shit, we need this stuff. Like, obviously we need it. So it's kind of like I need to work with my people that are compliance focused, not against them. It's not me versus them. It's not I'm better than you. It's me and you working together. And I just thought, that's one of our problems, is we pick a label up and we go, right, you're systems focused and you're like compliance focused and I'm people focused, therefore you're wrong and I'm right and whatever. I just think, That was what came to my mind anyway. And our member said the same. You know, she was like, we need to not forget about this technical stuff. And I was like, so true, man, because if I'm deciding what we talk about, deciding is not the right way to put it. If I'm trying to find the research, I will inherently be biased towards all the human factors stuff, the psychological stuff, the sociological stuff, the philosophical stuff, because that's the stuff I love. But I would hate to go and get a piece of gosh research and be like, there you go, everybody. But at the same time, it is something we need to do. So we need to get it. So it was such a good point, and we've taken it on board, and, you know, we'll make sure that we've got all that stuff as well. But I think that is so true, that we have these two sides of our profession, and we seem to just fight against each other when actually they both exist in beautiful harmony, or they should, at least. Okay, one last note I have. We ended up talking about diversity in our roles and in our teams, and I think if you're intrigued in this stuff, I just wanted to mention there are two things. One, if you ever see a webinar with the head of safety for Unite Student Housing, Stephanie, or any of Unite Student Housing's team, and they're talking about this, talk to them. 100%. Talk to them, listen to them, because what they have done there in collaboration with Anchor Frameworks is it looked beyond the traditional NBOSH, NCRQ, whatever, chartered professional. I look at the person and how that kind of complements the team and the background, the experience to create cognitive diversity. So check out Anchor Frameworks if you see a webinar, or get a chance to talk to Steph or any of the team from Unite Student Housing. You need to do that 100%. And then you need to go and pick up a book, which the link of the book will be in the description below. And you know what book I'm going to say, Rebel Ideas. Everyone raves about Black Box Thinking. I think Rebel Ideas is a better book, and I think it is the book that everyone needs to read, 100%. So, I'm going to leave it there, people. No, I'm not. I've got two more things, actually. I've highlighted two quotes from David, which I absolutely loved. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So good, right? That is so good. I stole that. That is just, I'm not even going to talk about it. I'm just going to leave it there because I don't want to ruin it with my uneducated waffle. And then the other one is, safety is never a standard to be achieved. It is a point of consensus between stakeholders. That was nice. A bit more difficult to achieve, I feel, that one. To move away from that and say, you know, I'm thinking I love that. But when I'm thinking about my day job, I'm like, right, how do I sell that? That's a challenge. But if you're going to take anything away from this reflection and those conversations with David, I think you need to take away those two quotes. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And safety is never a standard to be achieved. It's a point of consensus between stakeholders. Oh, so good. I'll link to all the books I've mentioned, the books we mentioned in the interview as well, such as Better Questions, Humble Inquiry, Rebel Ideas, and so on and so forth. I'll link to the Safety of Work podcast. And if I can, I will get the research for you as well. I hope you have enjoyed this podcast, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. I'll catch you next week. Safe.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and its guests and do not necessarily reflect the position of the companies. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are examples only based on limited and dated open source information and should not be utilised in real life as the only solution available. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the companies. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, or otherwise, without prior written permission from James McPherson.